Sunday, April the 21st.
Welcome to this Burlington Audio Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and inspired in your faith as you listen to this message. We'd love to hear what you think. Please be in touch with us through the website. More information and many more podcasts are all at burlingtonbaptist.org.uk. Thanks for listening.
So, good morning everyone again. We are on the final week of our Rolling Stone series. And we're going to spend today wrapping it up and thinking together about what God has been saying to us through the last couple of weeks. It's been exciting. It's been challenging. It's been hard. It's been brilliant. And I'm hoping as we reflect today, you will realize how much God has been saying to you. And we're going to do that quite engagingly. I'm not going to speak for long. You guys are going to do the hard work. And if my guys could just hand out some pieces of paper and pens. This is an exam. I've got my red pen with me. I'm joking. No questions. This piece of paper is for you to make some notes as we go through our time together. I did have a really lovely sheet, but the printer failed me this morning. So I will put the lovely sheet on the screen. You all can go, wow, and copy it on your lovely white piece of paper. Thank you, guys. If you would like one of our new lovely church Bibles as well, now's your moment to grab one. They're here at the front, useful to lean on and read. So if you want to grab one of those as well, you can do. We're going to need them together. Thank you. Lovely. Thank you. Okay, let's move on. So the first question we're going to ask ourselves today is one that we ask a lot as we come to review and reflect our times, our talks together. And it's one that we probably should ask ourselves every single day. What has God been saying to you? Through the last 8 weeks, I wonder what's been the highlights, the things that you've been thinking about. I wonder what's been the challenges for you. I wonder what God has been saying to you. Let me remind you of where we've been and what we've been up to. And if you've missed one, hopefully this will help a little bit as well. Way back at the beginning of March, we discovered together the evidence for the resurrection. Simon helpfully unpacked some of the biblical truths about resurrection, but also some of the historical truths about resurrection. And we concluded together that not only did it happen, but it matters because it changed the course of history. It showed how powerful God really was and who was in control of this universe and therefore our lives. We then moved into our second week where we thought about what was our stone? What was the thing that felt impossible? What was the challenge in our own lives that felt like an immovable stone that we had been praying for that God would move, that he would roll? Where were we needing the power of God in our lives? Where were we needing to see the impossible become possible? For some of us, it was a grief. For some of us, it was a relationship. For some of us, it was a past hurt or pain. For some of us, it was a medical condition. For some of us, it was a mindset. For some of us, it was dot, dot, dot. What was the stone that we felt needed to be rolled away? Wasn't an easy week, that one. Wasn't an easy week, that one. We then moved into thinking a little bit more about our specifics. And we had a talk called Jesus Died Alone, So I Never Need to Be Alone. Jesus died alone, so I never needed to be alone. Because for some of us, loneliness is a big stone that is in front of us that feels so hard. And we learnt about the curtain being stripped into two because that separated us from God. But actually that wasn't true anymore. We were with God and he was for us and we could talk and communicate and be with him. We then moved into When I Am Crushed, Jesus Conquered, and we thought about our emotions and how our emotions are often in a crushed place, but actually Jesus died for the whole of us, our body, mind, our soul, our spirit. And then Easter Sunday happened, and we thought about heaven. And we learned that Simon's going to not be bored in heaven, that there is no resting in his plan, that it is about bungee jumping and climbing mountains and learning to surf. I'm more about the eating of heaven. Yeah? Wonder what you guys are. But that was a great time together, renewing our hope that actually we will be with Jesus for all eternity. And that was a great moment, wasn't it? A couple of weeks ago then, we turned the corner from the resurrection to how do we live now? And we talked about committing to reading the word together because that's where the truth of God is. And that actually if we put our feet firmly on his word, then we will live in the resurrected power that he talked about. And then Simon ended last week with talking about Thomas and the doubt. And what happens when our stone doesn't roll away? How do we feel? How does that work? How do we justify the resurrection power with the reality that sometimes we face that those stones are not rolling away? It's been a journey, isn't it? It's been a journey. And so here we are at the end of the talk season, and we didn't want to just rush into the next lot of talking without reviewing, without talking to God and saying, what have you been teaching me in the last few months? And so we're going to have 5 minutes now of quiet, of quiet-ish. Doesn't have to be perfectly quiet, but of quiet-ish. And I would like you to answer the first question that would have been on your nice printout, but is now on the screen. What has God been saying to you over those talks? When I reviewed them, was there something that jumped out that you went, oh yes, I remember that. That was significant for me. What's God been saying about the fact that the resurrection happened? What's he been speaking to you personally about? This is just for you. I'm not going to have your pieces of paper in for marking. So you can write down whatever you want. If you want to write it in a journal or on a phone, that's fine too. I'm just giving you a piece of paper so that you've got the opportunity to write it down. But we're literally going to have 5 minutes of complete quiet. And I'd love you to take those moments to reflect back, listening into God and saying, God, what have you been saying to me over the last few weeks? And why write it down? Because you won't remember it tomorrow lunchtime. Because we're busy people. And lots goes on in our mind between now and then. And so I'd like you to write it down today as a way of just marking it and saying, thank you, God, for speaking to me about this. But also maybe you want to chuck it in a Bible or on your phone as a reminder or whatever it is to reflect what God's been saying. So I'm going to pray. We're going to have 5 minutes of silence. I'd love you to write something down about what God's been doing. Father God, we want to thank you for the truth that we have learnt in the last 8 weeks. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for encouraging us. We even thank you for challenging us. And we pray now as we reflect and we think that you will speak to us. Remind us of what you've been doing in our lives. Remind us of those precious words you've spoken to us. Help us now to hear your voice clearly in your name. Got 1 minute left, so take that moment to write something down. May need to carry on writing some more at home in your own time, but why don't you take that piece of paper or your journal or whatever it is and just hold it in your hands, and we're going to pray. Thank you, God, for the words of life that you have spoken to me. They're precious. I'm grateful that you are not a silent God, but one who has spoken through your word, through your Son, and by your Holy Spirit to me. And so help me take these words, help me live them and know them, and equip me so that I can be a person that not just hears your word, but does them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The second way we're going to review our last 8 weeks is by hearing the end of the resurrection story. It's not the end of the story by any strength. We go into Acts, into the ascension and all of that kind of stuff, but the end of the resurrection story. And we're going to do soap together. Now, when I say the word soap, some of you instantly know what I'm talking about. Some of you are thinking that we're going to have a shower. We're not. We're going to do soap together. Soap is one of the ways that we love to read the Bible around here. It's a really simple way of not only honouring God's word, but actually applying it to our lives. It's an invitation for God to speak through his word. For some of us, we've done this a million times already, so you're going to be pros. For some of us, though, this is the first time we've done it. So let's help each other out as we go through this together. Soap is a very simple way of us reading the Bible. So we read the scripture first. We ask God to speak to us. Maybe he highlights a word or a phrase or a verse. And sometimes he even highlights a chunk or a theme. And then we observe what it's saying. What is this about? Who's in that verse? What's it about? What is it? What am I observing? We then move into applying it and praying it together. We're going to do some of this on our own and some of this with our neighbour. So I hope you like the person you're sat next to. If you don't, nothing you can do about it. Get to know them nicer. We're going to talk at the end of our time together about what God is saying. You can tell them as much or as little as you want. Some things are just between you and God, and that is all okay. But we're going to first of all hear the scripture. And if you've got a Bible on you, I don't want you to open it right now. I know that's contrary to what I said 2 weeks ago. Do not open your Bible right now, because we're going to listen to God's word. And it's a long chapter, chapter 21, and Margaret is going to kindly read it all to us. But she's going to come now, and let's ask God to highlight something about this passage to us. We're then going to read it, so don't panic if you can't hold all the information Margaret's about to give you. But let's, for the first time, hear God's word together from John chapter 21.
Good morning, this is John chapter 21. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work. He jumped into the water and he headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now, come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been risen from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself. You went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and will take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over Jesus during the supper, and said, "Lord, who will betray you?" Peter asked Jesus, "What about him, Lord?" Jesus replied, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me." So the rumor spread among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die. But that isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This disciple is the one who testifies to these events and has recorded them here. And we know that his account of these things is accurate. Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written.
Thank you, Margaret. So you can now find that passage in your own Bibles. John 21. John 21, I'm using it on my phone, but there's some Bibles here if you would rather find it. You're going to need it in front of you for the next bit. John chapter 21. I wonder which bit got your attention as Margaret was reading it. It's a long passage. There's an awful lot in there. Some of you might not have got past the first verse. That's absolutely fine. But what we're going to do now is we're going to just have a few minutes again of quiet for you to read back over it. And what I would like you to do is to write the word scripture on your piece of paper. And I'd like you to write underneath that in full the scripture that jumped out at you, or the phrase that jumped out of you, the verse, the word that caught your attention. Now, having joked about the food in heaven, actually the verse that jumped out for me when I was reading this morning, and I'll explain a little bit more later, was verse 12. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. I'll tell you why I think that jumped out to me a little bit later on. But you've got a couple of minutes just to go back over that Bible passage, listening into God. Which verse, phrase, word jumped out to you and caught your attention? And then I'd like you to write that out. Go. I'm going to encourage you to write it out in full as a commitment to that verse or phrase. You've got another minute. Okay. Wave at me if you're done. Wave at me if you're not done. Oh. Wave at me if you're asleep. Caleb wins. Jack's asleep. Okay. We then move into the next thing that we do with this Bible passage, which is to observe it. What does this passage or word or verse that God has highlighted tell you about God, about his people, or about life, your life? What's the passage about? And why do you think it's important to you? Why do you think God wanted to catch your attention? So let me give you my example. When I read this through, the bit about breakfast really caught me again. I mean, I know it was early, but I had just had my breakfast when I was doing this morning, so I wasn't hungry. But I was really struck by the invitation that Jesus was giving his disciples to come every morning and feast with him. And I felt God saying to me that I needed to observe what was going on, that Jesus had invited his disciples to be with him in the early morning and that they had accepted that invitation. I'm not going to move on to tell you my application quite yet. It does involve breakfast. But actually, I was observing the invitation from Jesus to come and be with him. That was my observation. So again, you've got 2 minutes. Thinking about the passage, the scripture that God has highlighted, what are you observing? What are you observing about God in that passage? What's it about? Why do you think it might be important for you? You've got 2 minutes and then we are going to chat to our neighbours just to keep your focus. So 2 minutes to observe what this passage might be about for you today. Another 30 seconds, 2 minutes is quick. So do write something down if you haven't already. Okay. Extroverts, well done. You've got to the bit where you can talk. Introverts, I'm really sorry. Got to talk to someone. Ken's going to put some music on just so that we've got a bustle in the room so you don't have to listen to each other. But may I suggest you just find one or two other people next to you. And I'd love you just to very briefly share the verse that you've been given or the phrase you've been given and a very brief observation. It's making sure that everybody gets a chance to speak because you've only got a couple of minutes and then we're going to work into some application. So just share with the person next to you the verse that caught your attention or the bit that caught your attention and a little bit of your observation. Go for it. Thanks, Ken. Well, I'm hoping that the conversation was good rather than just planning your shopping list. It sounded good. So we've asked God for a scripture. We've asked him to highlight something that he wants to catch our attention about. We've observed a little bit about the passage. But all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, and training in righteousness, which means that we have to live it, not just listen to it. And so the second part of the soap is all about applying it to our lives. What is God actually saying to me today? How do I feel about that? Am I excited by the invitation to be with Jesus for breakfast? Or does it make me think I've got to set my alarm a bit earlier? How do I feel about that? Not great. I'll be okay. What am I actually going to do with the knowledge that God's been speaking to me and that I'm observing this in this Bible passage and he was wanting me to apply it in some way? What am I actually going to do? We're going to have 2 minutes on our own again to begin to think about how we apply what God is saying to us. I'd like you to write it down again, because as I say, by tomorrow lunchtime, you will forget. Write it down. And then we're going to have a bit of time chatting with our neighbours as well. But I would like you to chat to your neighbours in a listening way, so that you make sure you listen before you give your good advice. If that's okay. Got two ears, one mouth for a reason. So we're going to have 2 minutes on our own and then a couple of minutes again sharing with our neighbours about what we're actually going to do about it. And then you can put your 10 pence of advice in as well if you would like to during that conversation. So 2 minutes on our own and then I'll tell you when to start chatting. What are you actually going to do about what God is saying to you? So write something down. Okay. Going to get to talk to your neighbour about what you're actually going to do, how you're going to apply this truth that God's given to you for accountability. You can ask me next week. We've been in a kind of 3-week cycle of schools off and things like that and disrupted patterns for me. And I hear God's invitation again to, in the morning, go and be with him. Having breakfast with him is not really eating together, but it's about feasting on God for me. So you can ask me next Sunday how my rhythm this week has been. Have I, in the morning, been feasting on God's word? I'd love you to do that to keep me accountable. If you all ask me, it feels a bit more scary than if just one of you did. Why don't you talk to your next door neighbor about what God might be asking of you, how you feel about that, what you're actually going to do. You can carry that conversation on over coffee. Absolutely. It would be great to continue helping each other apply what God is saying. But the final thing is the P, turning it into prayer. Now, I'm not very good at writing prayers, but actually this discipline for me has been really helpful at the end of doing SOAP. Just turning all that God has said into a one or two line prayer, thanking God and then committing to him and asking for his help as I do what he's asking me to do. And so let's not rush on without turning this to prayer. In a moment, we're going to sing together. So if the band want to come up, that would be great. But I'd love for you to just write a very short, one, two lines max, prayer on your piece of paper as you commit yourself to God concerning this. One line, two line prayer. We've only got a minute to do so. And why don't we stand together? Why don't we stand together? And in your mind, why don't you say your prayer? You can say it out loud if you would rather. Dear God, dear Heavenly Father, why don't you just speak to him right now? Thank you for speaking to me today, Lord, through your Bible, your word. As I've listened to you and observed what you might be saying, I want to thank you that your words are good news to me, that they're life to me, that they bring hope and they bring joy and they bring wisdom and they bring grace into my life. And as I now sing this next song, I once again commit myself to be someone who listens to you, but also who does what you ask. That as I walk through this week, I will remember what you said through your word to me today, and that I'll be a person who lives your truth. In Jesus' name, let's sing together.